You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Born in Colorado, Texas-based singer-songwriter Casey Beck has channeled life's hard licks and his experience as a wounded vet into a bold career in music. His latest song, The Machinist, is gaining international attention. Casey is my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles as we talk about his military career, his pursuit of music, and the work on his latest album. Well, hi, Casey. Welcome to the podcast. I'm glad we could work this out today.
Appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, man. Good to talk to you. So you're in Texas, is that right?
Yeah, I'm outside of Austin. I'm in a little town just on the northeast side.
Yeah, okay, cool. Austin, do you get to, well, obviously not right at the moment, but do you get to play there?
No, not right now.
Do you get to play there?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So we're going to talk about some new music that you've got coming up, but if we can, I'd like to dial it back just a little bit and talk about your career and kind of how all this thing got started. You started at a pretty young age with your dad. Is that right? Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah. Well, so it even goes farther back than that. The first like public stage I had was a few thousand bikers at a Barron's Toy Run. I want to say 1993-ish.
Okay.
So I was seven or eight years old.
Yeah.
Okay. The summer of 93. And thousands of bikers. It was a big toy run they did every year in Western Colorado. And then, as far as playing guitar, I really got into playing guitar around that age. And then I got good probably age 12, age 13. And I've gotten better over the years.
So was your dad in a band? Was it kind of a duet thing?
My dad's been doing music off and on basically his whole life. He played for, he was 14 years old playing for some bigger guys that used to tour with like probably Glenn Campbell types and stuff back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't remember the main guy he was kind of a big hit in Colorado. My dad played bass on a lot of his albums.
Yeah, cool.
So my dad was kind of doing the sessions thing as a teenager.
Okay. So where did the career start for you kind of more in the professional mindset? You played through high school and into your young adult years, I'm assuming?
Yeah, so in high school I was kind of competitive. My main competitor in high school is now the sound guy for Whiskey Myers.
Okay.
That's Cody J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Me and him used to just try to one-up each other, and his brothers were doing bands. And, Cody and I, we both started out kind of more hard rock and stuff, learning how to do licks. And then we've dialed it back, And he's on with Whiskey Myers and stuff. And we talk occasionally, but it's kind of morphed into this kind of, I-35 country thing.
Yeah.
And, I got to Fort Hood in 2005, and I was like, hey, man, I'm right outside of Austin. And so I did my first album while I was a PFC in the Army there. That was the Cove Cove Studio Sessions.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And then shortly after, I went to Nashville, and I was talking to Broken Bow for quite a few months there. And then Kathy Walker with the K was one of the big song pluggers, and she was plugging me to VNA Nashville and Curb Records at the time. So she was trying to get one of my songs, and it got held for like 6 months. I mean, it just sat there.
So did I understand correctly there was an issue with you being enlisted causing that to not go through?
So Broken Bow was talking to me. Their only thing they ever complained about, they're like, man, you're too, it's a little bit rock based, but we could probably work with that. And then the next thing was then they find out, so what's this deal with the military? I'm like, well, I'm enlisted at Fort Hood. And they were like, oh, we can't talk to you anymore, we're sorry. And I was like, okay. So it was like,
that's a new one. I hadn't heard that before, but I'm assuming there's all kinds of policies that we're unaware of.
It was a new one on me too. At 20 years old, I'm like, wait, I've done all this work, and now, I mean,
yeah.
So yeah, it was a I mean, that was hard, but, you know, I got injured shortly thereafter, and I tried to stay in a couple times, but I ended up finally getting out in 2007. And then I went to Iraq, and I actually paid for my album by contracting in Iraq. And I did the My Car, My Guitar album, and during that time, we got in one of the songs, got in a movie, and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me about the run-in with Bret Michaels. I found that kind of interesting.
Yeah. So it's a funny story, but Bret Michaels comes to play. I want to say it was Al Asad, but I'm working there. I'm a mechanic for the Marine Corps as a civilian, but I was working side by side with them. I go to this show. They're like, hey, Bret Michaels is going to be here. I'm like, no way. And I'm like, I get up there. And interestingly, I think he gestures to me. I thought he was calling me on stage. He didn't, but... either way, I was over by the stage, and so when the show ends, we hang out, and it starts out, he's like, hey, you know, I got to get going. I was like, oh, okay. You know, he's like, but man, that guitar is really nice. So he starts playing my guitar, and I was like, and then the Air Force MWR girl comes over, and she's like, hey, can he sign that? And both me and Bret at the same time are like, oh, no way. It's a beautiful guitar. I'm not signing that. I was like, man, so, and I'm saying basically the same thing. I'm like, that's my graduation present. No way.
Yeah.
She's like, well, what about the guitar strap, you know? And we're both like, okay, yeah, cool. So he signs it, and then it's like, you know, 15 minutes goes by, and he's like, man, I got to get going. And then, but he starts talking again, and we start talking and talking. And he's like, so your dad did this, and, you know, just different stuff about music. And then he was asking me where I grew up, and I was like, oh, you know, Kansas City and, you know, a little bit of Colorado and back and forth. And there's like another 15, so about 45 minutes total goes on. And I finally got to say, because I know they're like the band's gesturing for him to go. I'm like, hey, man, I think you got to get going, Bret. And he's like, oh, yeah, man, you're right. And then so he's walking off the stage with my guitar. I'm like, hey, Bret. He's like, what? I'm like, my guitar, man. He turns around, he hands me the guitar, and is like, I haven't talked to him since.
Wow, that's funny. So did that prompt a song? Did I understand that right?
No, but I've fiddled with it. One of these days I'm going to... You know, I fiddle with some different stuff there. One of these days I'll make a song out of it.
Yeah, that's a cool story. So it's definitely sounds like there's material there for a song.
Oh, yeah, man. It's a perfect country song.
Yeah, maybe you could get him to jump in on as a co-creditor or something.
Hey, it'd be cool.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your songwriting process. Obviously, you've got all these kinds of different world travels and experiences. How does all of that play into... when you sat down to craft a new song?
Well, I mean, one thing about me that, I mean, the people that are in my inner circle, they all know it. Like, I've had this outrageously crazy life. Like, I mean, even getting injured in the military, even with that, I still stuck it out. Went to Iraq for 3 years. I almost got killed a half dozen times. I literally almost got mortared in this with a girl who was my girlfriend, like, 4 or 5 years prior, you know, like we literally almost get killed together. So there's Jeez. A song in that at some point. And what's crazy is I'm still friends with her grandma, like really close with her grandma.
Yeah.
We both lied to her grandma. We're like, no, we were fine. I was like, but no, both of us know the truth. And there's still video of the fire of about 50 to 100 yards away. A trailer caught fire and blew up. And
wow.
It was pretty wicked. So, I mean, that. Weird stories there, you know, and just I accidentally got deported from Belgium because I didn't have the right pass to get on Chevers Air Force Base or Shape NATO. Just all these weird things have happened. And people who know me are just like, man, like only you it would happen to, you know. And I was like, it just happens like that. And I just think that it's because I'm really steady and I'm really consistent. I just keep doing stuff. Every day is never the same as the last.
Right. Yeah.
And in my song process, what I try to do is I try to do all true stories. So every song I've ever written, if you listen to them, they've got some, there's like 90% truth and maybe like 10% like a coded message in them, you know? And so like, in case in point, my recent song, The Machinist, was written for a guy I was in Iraq with. His brother has cancer. And his name's Tommy McGordy.
Yep.
And the guy I was in Iraq with is named Bill, and me and Bill go back to Iraq. And he was like, hey, man, can you dedicate a song to my brother? And I was like, well, you know, tell me some stuff about him. And he did. And so I wrote this song, and only one section in there is basically about me, and that's, you know, Grandpa passes steady hands down to me, you know, along with this guitar, you know, and that whole part there is my grandpa did leave a guitar to me, and grandpa passed away after like 5 bouts of cancer. He was a tough old man. But other than that, the whole song, you know, every other song I've ever done has been a true story.
Do you, when you sat down to put these songs together, you know, in a sort of a completed fashion, are you drawing on notes, or you just kind of sit down and let the memories come back and put it together that way? Is there a, do you have a method
to it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All memories. Recently though, for some of the rhymes, I've finally started actually, writing down, you know, just kind of jotting down a list of rhymes, words that rhyme with, like the main verse.
Right.
But other than that, it's all memories. I'll sit there and I'll be working. Something will happen, and I'll be like, man, you know, that's the darndest thing. Hey, let me write that down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, you know, usually it starts with a chorus.
And
then I'll build on that.
The new song, or the song that's out, The Machinist, is this, and then you sent me notes to a new one that that you just finished putting together. That's pretty timely with all of the COVID and pandemic situation. Are all of these parts and pieces of a new record that's on the way?
Yeah, they are. I'm kind of putting. I've been putting it together. I started writing this with a guy. I mean, I wrote it all, but I've been just kind of working on it with the music. And I work with a guy out of a House of David studio in Nashville, and then I do the rest here in Texas. But we just kind of been putting some stuff together. And I've got like 4 more songs other than that I got to put together, and we've got a full album.
Okay, that's awesome.
And I don't have a name for it yet. And I also got a Byron Hill song. Byron Hill and John Rich pitched a song out to Nashville. A guy pitched it to me like 11, 12 years ago, and I couldn't afford the licensing then because it was really expensive.
Uh-huh.
You had to pay 10,000 units up front and stuff like that. I just couldn't afford it. And then I just happened to find out this song never got done. Or it got done in Canada, but it's never been done in the U.S. And I reached out to Byron Hill's publishing, not knowing I would actually get a hold of Byron Hill.
Wow.
And, you know, this old man calls me. He goes, hey, this is Byron. And I'm like, yeah. And, he, you know, he's really calm. And he's like, I was just calling you back. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'd like to do this song. And he's like, well, that's great. He's like, yeah. And you walked me through, even told me how to get the Harry Fox license.
Yeah.
And everything. He's like, I think I still got the original demo tape that John sang on and everything, you know.
Wow.
And he sent all that to me, and we've got the song basically ready to go. I just got to sing on it.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Do you have a target date for when you'd like to have the record out?
I'm thinking November.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to mess up the Machinist charting in Texas specifically.
Right.
But I'm thinking November for that.
Your music has kind of got this gritty, edgy country feel. Is that where you're finding the song tracking with folks that are into that style of music?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of me. Like, I'm a real, we sat down the other day, there's another guy I work with, and it's like, we were talking about it, and everything I've ever done has been dangerous. I've never had I was armed security in the Capitol. I've been a cop. I was a roadside investigator. So the music is really how I am.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not the skinniest guy. I'm unassuming if you don't know that I've done, like, I don't know, 7 different types of martial arts.
Right.
I've done all the combatives in the military. I mean, people have, you know, tried with me and gone, oh, I didn't realize you could do that. I'm like, yeah, you know. But, I mean, I'm just a real unassuming guy, but everything I've ever done has been real rough around the edges.
Right.
And my music's just... it's kind of where I'm at, you know.
Yeah.
Really rough.
What kind of audience do you find responds to that? Obviously, pandemic, but when you're out with your music, where do you find it resonates the most?
I mean, I am finding that I'm getting a lot of the Cody Jinx, but there's also I'm hearing there's a softness that some of the John Randall guys like it.
Yeah.
And then it's country with a little bit of grit to it. I definitely think that I'm a spokesperson for the disabled community. I'm about as beat up as it gets to be able to even do this. The part we didn't even go over, and it kind of goes with the memory side, is when I came back from Iraq, I couldn't remember any of my lyrics.
Oh, wow.
And that was like an eight-year, nine-year battle with the VA. And, part of it was that I couldn't breathe. So I had no oxygen getting to my brain. Some of the other stuff is hormone. I mean, it's all related to injury after injury in the military. And then contracting didn't help. So, you know, it's, I mean, people that hear the story are like, man, you know. And then my kind of like my coworker, the one I work with in music all the time is Deanna Wheeler, and she's also a disabled vet. And both of us have almost identical stories. So we kind of run ideas off of each other and, you know, really trying to be there for the disabled community.
Yeah, sure. Right. Well, certainly they need all the positive attention that they can get. And in the world today, anybody that can offer the kind of help that, or at least in the spotlight type sense that you're offering, is certainly advantageous for those folks.
Yeah, and I think that it's going to grow. And I, you know, I think that I look at the backstory of it, and I think that a lot of people, once they realize that, hey, man, like, I mean, you talk about paying dues. I don't think anybody's paid more dues over time than I have.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, I'm out here trying and trying, you know, and just trying to hold it together. And it's hard. I mean, I've had the last three presidents have helped me out with my medical stuff for the military. I mean, it's not very many people can say they've had all three presidents do a presidential inquiry.
Right.
And the final push, Trump finally got my 100% through with the VA, and the VA kind of gave me an apology because they were like, oh, we didn't realize this. And I'm like, but they've been sending the letters to you for, years. And every doctor has always spoke highly of my record, but somebody just ignores something or loses something.
Right.
And it, you know, it's frustrating, but, it's just the route, you know, the road I'm on.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I certainly wish you well with that journey for sure. Tell me about the new song, the link that you just sent me, earlier this morning.
So the song's called Wake Me Up When This Year's Over.
Yep.
And I think we're just going to put it out digitally. But, you know, I think it says it all.
Yeah.
I mean, if you listen to the song, it really summed up COVID. I know 6 feet apart kind of does. But I think it's just got a more straight to the point, you know.
Right.
The bars are closed. We can't do shows. You know, we're out here trying to make a living. People are going broke. You know, so wake me up when this year's over. And then, you know, I got a line in there about let me sleep through October.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into who I, you know, my politics or anything. But, you know, I really do think that politics has played a part.
Yeah.
So let me get through the election. Once the election's over, we can wake back up. You know, and it's like, you know, I'm done with the politics. I'm done with, you know, one second we're good, one second we're not. It's just been really chaotic. And I think a lot of people relate to that, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people on both sides are just tired and want to get back to the life that we were comfortable with, whatever that looks like. So yeah, I totally
that's
get
exactly it.
Exactly. Yeah. So what's obviously on the other side of that song, and we do find some sort of music life on the other side of whatever all of this is. What's the bucket list for you? What would you like to see happen with this new music in your career and touring and that kind of thing? What does that look like?
I mean, I think I'm going to go back to the original plan of what I was doing while I was in the military. I mean, the original plan was to be a touring musician. I plan on songwriting. I mean, I think my songwriting, pretty up there. I mean, you know, a lot of people say, you know, it's vivid, it just speaks to people as a truth. And I, you know, it's three chords in the truth all over.
Sure.
And I don't think there's a lot of three chords in the truth. I think people are getting tired if you're in the same old on my tailgate, boy meets girl. I got songs that are about, you know, like I got a new one that I came up with today, an idea called AWOL. And it's about, you know, although I didn't go AWOL per se in the military, but it's like, you know, I've really, because I've been stuck over here doing the music, sometimes I forget about family, you know?
Right.
And I'm working, you know, I'm a manager in a big corporation and I work all the time. And, you know, there's a lot of times that, you know, you find yourself AWOL. You're like, yeah, you know, I missed out on this for the kids and I missed out on that. And, I think people relate to that a heck of a lot more than,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
The same old boy band, country that we're hearing in Nashville these days.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I mean, it's why Cody Jinx is so popular.
Yeah,
you know, and I respect him for that.
Yeah, no, you're right. So if people want to listen to the new music and get a chance to listen to the new song that you just cut and some of the other tracks and follow what's going on and watch for the new releases, what's the best way to reach out, get in touch, and follow up with all of that with you?
I mean, they can check out my Twitter. I'll send links out, and that's the singer Casey Beck is my link for Twitter. They can go to CaseyBeck.com, and it's out on every – I mean, I'm out there on everything from Spotify, Apple, YouTube, you know. Yeah. And I'm one of these guys I can be reached. I don't mind getting mail. It's going to take me a while to get back to them, but, you know – I'll get back to him. Every message I see and every message I'll reply to.
And it's KC, capital K, capital C, not Casey, correct?
Yep. Yeah, like Kansas City Beck.
Yep, good. Well, thanks, yep. KC. I, this has been great getting to hear your story, and certainly wish you well with all of that, and we're excited for the new record to come out, too.
That's awesome. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.